Excellent. So next up, we will have Peggy E. speaking on discipline and action, forgiveness and love of others.
I don't want to wrestle with this like Tommy did, so there we go. Okay. Hi, everybody. My name's Peggy, compulsive overeater.
Hi.
Hi, everybody. At my abstinence first home meeting, we can qualify, and I would like to do that today. I came into program over 22 and a half years ago and got abstinent by the grace of God about a week later. So, I am thrilled to be here. Thanks to all the speakers who've already spoken, and thanking the speakers following me in advance. It corroborates that I am in the right place, the place I chose 22 and a half years ago. Okay, so I am here today, grateful to be abstinent. I am grateful that I was invited to speak. And I am grateful for those of you who chose to suit up and show up at this meeting. After all, I really believe we're in this together. It's the suiting up and showing up time and time again, day after day, meal after meal, that prepares us to face the formidable challenges of our disease and the exhilarating miracles of our abstinent recovery. The we of our program dictates we do this together. That concept eluded me for decades, literally, and my disease was rearing its ugly head. I felt so alone. I was combating food, I was combating diets, and most of all, myself. I'd like to not only elaborate on this, but also show how I've embraced this OA program. But first, let me read from the OA 12 and 12 about the principles of steps 8 and 9. In steps 8 and 9, we looked at the damage we had done others and set about repairing it. Now we apply the same principles of self-discipline and love for others to all of our actions. Self-discipline makes us less likely to hurt other people and quicker to make amends when we do. Practicing the principle of love, we learn to accept others as they are, not as we would have them be. We're beginning to take this new attitude not just towards other OAs, but also toward those at home, school, work, and in all areas of our lives. OA principles are supposed to be practiced in all our affairs. This is the concept which is so significant in the telling of my story and ultimately how self-discipline and love for others impacted me on my journey. My first sponsor was the one who initially told me this program was a miracle. My miracle began February 14th, 1996, the day I became abstinent, the day I began working with a sponsor. Prior to that, I was a depressed, overweight, pitiful human being, always searching, and for the most part in my eyes at least, failing. Sadly, my life didn't need to be such a struggle. I had loving parents, a relatively normal, stable home life, lots of advantages and privileges, private education, and unlimited opportunities to realize my dreams. On the surface, I did an adequate job of keeping up appearances. I did well in school, was accomplished in dance and athletics, student council president in high school, class president in college. I went on to marry a great guy and have two wonderful sons. By all accounts, I should have lived happily ever after. Oh, what was the problem? I learned very early on, in seventh grade to be exact, I had a dirty little secret. I was obsessed with food, with body image and eating normally from the moment I chose to go on my first diet at the age of 12. And so, unbeknownst to me at the time, I had set myself physically, emotionally, and spiritually on a self-destructive path. What followed were years of dieting, binging, and all-around sick, insane behavior. Despite the external success I achieved, my compulsive eating and stinking thinking prevailed. Oftentimes, I appeared to function normally, fulfilling commitments, being productive, even creative at times. Self-doubt and despair, however, always seemed to trump any joy or satisfaction I had. I was eventually hospitalized for depression, and though my food issues were addressed at the time, I was still unaware that I was quite simply a food addict. Self-discipline and caring for others were sorely missing. After hitting a true proverbial rock bottom in February of 1996, I let loose my reins, abdicated my role as ruler of the universe, and turned in faith, hope, and love to the supreme being I chose to call God. How did I do that? I got out the phone book. It was 1996. Looked up Overeaters Anonymous and called the OA office. I was directed to the Monday night newcomers meeting. I attended my first meeting feeling depressed and sad, but I had a glimmer of hope. I listened attentively. The topic was sponsorship, which really made that an important tool in my life then and from then on. And as the meeting went on, grew confident I was in the right place. I spoke to a few people who were very kind. I purchased lots of literature, went home to work the program myself. I was good for a few days, then fell off the wagon. I sat home the next meeting watching the clock go from 7 to 8, berating myself for failing once again. But a seed had been planted at that meeting. I got out my newcomer's packet. I remembered that one person who signed it said she was available to sponsor. She and I had nothing in common. She was single, 31, and an attorney. I was married, 46 years old, and the mother of two. And yet we had everything we needed in common. We were both compulsive overeaters. I remember thinking I had just enough nerve to call her the next day because she'd probably be at work and I'd leave a message. And I remember thinking if she didn't return my call, I was still so sick, then it would be her fault that I was a compulsive overeater for the rest of my life. She did return my call and agreed to be my sponsor. She insisted that abstinence would set me free to fulfill my commitment to God, my higher power. Abstinence first and always first, and the rest will take care of itself. I really believe if it weren't for her determination and insistence regarding abstinence, I wouldn't be here today able to share with you the blessings of this program. My sponsor took me by the hand. She first helped me define my abstinence. The one thing I knew was sugar was my drug of choice. I used to say it was my only food group. So we started there and went on to devise a plan, a food plan, a healthy, enjoyable food plan one day at a time. That covered the physical element of my disease. This was also my first attempt at self-discipline and opening myself to others. I am convinced I was able to adhere to this food plan because my sponsor had me immediately address the emotional and spiritual aspects of my newly diagnosed disease. We did it together through the 30 questions in 30 days process. Each day, I'd call in my food and receive a question. The next day, we would repeat the procedure with me reading my response. I was to remain abstinent during this time or go right back to question one if I lost my abstinence and begin again. Before I knew it, I had 30 days of abstinence and had completed the first three steps of my program. By committing daily to me and me to my sponsor, she had taken me from an apathetic, food-induced illness to literally a new lease on life recovery with God in charge, physically, emotionally, spiritually. I recall often that recommendation, and I think we've heard a couple versions of this from other speakers. You can't think your way into right acting. You have to act your way into right thinking. That was self-discipline and love for others. Abstinence is absolutely an essential component of my recovery. Staying out of the food affords me the gift of discernment. I was raised in a traditional religious environment, believing in God, but never able to truly relate to Him. It wasn't until I got the drug out of my system that I was able to perceive what part in recovery is mine and what part I'm supposed to leave up to God. My disease prevented me from establishing a clear channel. Now I'm able to connect with a loving, personal, attainable God, not a muddled, distorted concept of an aloof supreme being. Without food clouding the issue, I see I am not only adequate, but worthy and deserving of such a personal and intimate relationship, self-discipline, and love for others. Yes, the preoccupation with food has been lifted, as promised. When I am challenged emotionally or spiritually, however, it will remain simply a challenge as long as I stay out of the food. I remember this too shall pass, and I go about the business of using the steps and the tools to help me reestablish contact with the fellowship and my higher power. I figure it's a lot easier to get back on track if I resist that first compulsive bite. I never, ever forget, though, I have a disease. After all, I spent 34 years tending to it, feeding it, nourishing it, nurturing it. Now I tend to my recovery, and I remember if I stop working it, it stops working. I have previously alluded to the significance my first sponsor played in my recovery. Without her interceding, I don't think I would have found my way back to God. She led the way and lit the way. She was my first we in this program. She taught me to let go. She would be there if necessary to catch me, as would all of my fellow OA sufferers sitting at the tables and in the rooms. God in skin is how you were described to me. You would be there for me if God at the moment proved elusive. Self-discipline and love for others. It was also my first sponsor who encouraged me early on in program to be a sponsor. I was told, if I don't share with you, or if I don't tell you, I can't hear me. And my current longtime sponsor continues to inspire and support me in all of these efforts. When I begin with a brand new sponsoree, I first say we're entering into a committed, intimate relationship. There are three parties in this newly formed liaison: you, me, and the most important, God. God will do for us individually and for both of us collectively what we could not do for ourselves. I believe with all my heart that sponsorship has been a significant factor in keeping this compulsive eater in recovery. Our 12-step program is so about hooking up and sustaining connections. I wake up every morning with a decision to make. Today, will I serve the food god or the god of my choosing? If I decide to go it alone, my fate is sealed. I might as well say, let the binging begin. But fortunately, because of you and all those in the rooms I've encountered over the last 22 and a half years, I've been able to decide each day to surrender to God, my higher power. Yes, letting go and letting God is a beautiful thing. It gave me back to my family and my family back to me. I made amends to my husband and my two sons, and today have a wonderful relationship with them all. I'm so grateful they stuck with me. I don't know why, but they did. There are still times of sadness, but staying out of the food keeps me in their pitching. And for the most part, God grants me serenity, self-discipline, and love for others. This is a solution-oriented program, after all, and for too many years, I exhausted myself going around that same darn mountain. I was a perpetual whiner. Whiner spelled W-H-Y-N-E-R. But I can no longer afford to be a victim. Yes, life is often sad and unfair, and many of us have suffered horribly. But I love what this program tells us about that. We are not bad people trying to get good. We are sick people trying to get well. Our depressing past and our despicable disease are reasons for our former thoughts and actions, but we can no longer use them as excuses. We are called on to get rid of our old survival skills and take responsibility for our recovery. OA offers us a new life, but it is up to us to take possession of it. Remember, nothing changes if nothing changes. As I continue to grow in my recovery, advice about abstinence is irrefutable. Abstinence is our meal ticket, excuse the pun, to practicing these principles in all our affairs. Despite all my previous education and counseling and moral formation, it was getting and maintaining my abstinence that opened me up to a world worth living and a world worth living well. It is in this program that I learned to live according to all 12-step principles. I learned it's possible to be responsible for the effort, not the outcome, to not make the process more complicated than the project, and to carry the message but not be responsible for delivering it. And it is in this program I learned about acceptance, that acceptance is the answer to all my problems today. This is a passage from the big book I pray every day. Self-discipline and love for others. Some days I hit the mark more easily than others, but when I fail, I refuse to go into the food to make me feel better. I try very hard to believe I'm not a problem. I have a problem. I simply have a problem. And if I eat over it, I have two problems. And honestly, one problem at a time is all God and I need to handle. Thank you.
Second group of sponsor speakers today. Finally, we're going to have an open share time. So if anyone would like to come up and share, the mic is all yours.
Up for a second. Okay.
preparation for this, and I came across a poem that I wrote many, many, many years ago. I think I wrote it for the newsletter, but I'm not absolutely sure. So anyway, here goes. And I entitled it simply, The Food. At first, it appears very coy. Then it quickly becomes like a toy. It is very amusing, then grows quite confusing, and finally steals all my joy. It sits in my stomach like lead, not to mention the feelings of dread. How'd I get to this junction? I barely can function. All I want is to take to my bed. I need to get out of this race. I simply can't keep up the pace. I extend out my hand. I must trust where I land and put food in its proper place. The nightmare is finally ending. My heart unbelievably mending. I've made peace with the food. Now most days are good. Hey, I like the way things are trending.
Susan, I'm a compulsive overeater and a bulimic. What a great day to be abstinent and be in recovery. I just wanted to share, I just felt the need to share my writing for today, September 16th. And if anybody read, I read all kinds of 12-step literature. Today it was a 12-step review. And step one is it tells us about our membership that's required of this program. Steps 2, 3, and 11 are about the spiritual steps. Steps 4, 5, 6, 7, and 10 are personal inventory steps. 8 and 9 are about restitution, and 12 about helping others. So then I go on with that's what I was reading about. And then I go on with my writing. Is I cannot separate one from the other for importance, my life or my recovery. My freedom is dependent on all 12 steps. I've been struggling with my purpose and my spirituality. The struggle is real. My disease is real. And the struggle is between recovery and spirituality. I cannot separate the two. They're one and the same for me, a symbiotic relationship. When one is affected, so is the other. It is not for me to struggle over which gets my attention. That's me practicing my will. My ego playing games of which will reward me greater. My weakness. What will benefit me greater? That is my weakness. My ego seeking to be satisfied. My ego seeking to be fed. My ego feeling stymied is rearing up to reign supreme once again. So with that, I decided I was going to look at myself, my thoughts and my actions, to discover new flaws, old flaws, and patterns of self-destruction. And three, I was going to accept where I am. So my commitment that I wanted to share with everybody here, my commitment to myself, and I'm choosing to share it with you all, is that well, I will work my program as if I will live until eternity. Finishing one phase is the beginning of the next phase for me. And I will continuously look, discover, and work to accept me now, only today. And tomorrow I'll look again. Thank you for listening.